Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. It is a Tuesday, June the 8th, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. And I received report there during the break that there are lightning bugs out in Clarendon. The first lightning bugs have been spotted of the season. We thank Jeannie Evers for that update. You know, the bugs that are out there now are very interesting. I mean, I know they spray the area, but the spray that they use on mosquitoes now, you know, it must be so much better than it was about 5 or 6 years ago. Because in the last 5 or 6 years, I have not noticed any mosquitoes in my area. Now, lightning bugs, I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to go out and just sit on the porch one night. Maybe I'll do that tonight. Take a little break, go out and sit on the porch, and see if any lightning bugs blow by. But one was definitely spotted in Clarendon last night. Now, we can continue on with the subject we were talking about. We took it up to the break there, talking about the auditor here in town and talking about Governor DeWine. I don't know. You know, I think in general, hopefully these things have nothing to do with what political party somebody belongs to. I hope they don't. But more on what has happened. I hope that's mostly what this is about. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on the episode with the auditor's office or Governor DeWine or anything of that nature? Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I got a question.
Yes.
Listening to the mayor there, he said the lady who was out on paid leave of absence, who usually paid the state federal apparently for the auditor.
Right.
And said she had resigned because of things going on and things like that. Was it... Do you know if it was her team, the auditor's team, that was blaming her, or was it outside people, or
councilmen? It's my understanding that she retired. I may have this wrong, but it's my understanding when this whole mispayment happened back in June of 2020, about a year ago now, that she was on bereavement leave.
Correct.
And so, but nobody said anything about this for, I think, 6 months. So then when it all came to light at the beginning of this year, questions went to her about how could this happen. Now, I really don't know what happened in those meetings. I don't know if she said she had made the mistake or she felt responsible because she had not been there. I don't really know, but the pressure and the accusations of it all caused her to just go ahead and retire because clearly she didn't like it.
Right. Well, I give her credit. If she thought, I mean, that's a good worker when she thought maybe she was at fault and she had nothing to do with it, take the blame a little bit. But that's nothing to do with her taking the... I mean, she don't need to take a blame. I mean, she was out because, you know, lost a loved one and wasn't nothing to do with her. But I understand her feeling. I mean, I'd feel the same way. I've been at my job for 26 years and something happened. I feel guilty for something I didn't even do. So
right. Well, and again, I'm not sure, and I think this is why there is an investigation going on right now about that particular issue on city council, because I don't know. City council has said they don't feel they're getting straight answers about who did what during that time and who knew what was going on. And the mayor has said that he had even offered help to that office, but it was declined.
Right.
So I don't know. I really don't know why this is such a contentious issue. I don't quite understand it.
Well, I'm sure the committee is going to figure it out. But, you know, with the email scam, I got to tell you something funny. Yesterday, a young guy, he was younger than 25, knocked at my door wanting to know if I need my yard mowed. And the only thing I can think it is, it's that guy, because I've never seen him before, I'm thinking it's the guy who was involved in the email scam. He went back to mowing yards.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I mean, I had someone knock on my door yesterday. Like, he was younger than 25. I don't know how old he was. Wanted to know if I needed my yard mowed. And the only thing I can think, it was that guy went back to mowing yards.
Now, was he a yard mower before?
I don't know. I never seen the guy in my life.
Oh, well. Well, everybody's...
I mean, it was just someone going around, probably trying, I don't know what he was getting, but he was looking to mow yard. I mean, he was nice and polite, but...
Everybody's got to have a job, I guess.
That's right. All right, sir. You have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to voice your opinion, that's what this radio station is about as we approach our 7th anniversary. Opinions are good on all sides. And we all like to know what people are thinking. And most of the opinions given here are not... of a negative nature, I don't think. I think it's just a lot of questions about a lot of things. And we should say, it must be very difficult right now for the auditor. You know, regardless of what you believe, he's got to be under a lot of pressure right now. You know, being investigated by city council and then having this whole thing go on with the email scam and having people resign in your office and having it printed in the newspapers all the time and brought up on the radio. You know, that must be difficult. But I just don't know where we are in the world anymore to where everything is political. I think we've just got to get away from that. People will say, well, you're talking politics. Well, I don't consider this, just because the person's an elected official, I don't necessarily consider that a political issue. I consider that I live in the county. A lot of people live in the city who listen. This radio station's in the city. You know, what's going on? If we didn't talk about it, I would feel like we were out of step, because news is news. And it goes back, it's a lot of times people have talked about, let's do a station, let's do a television station, let's do a radio station, let's do a newspaper, where all we're going to print or talk about is good news. That's all we're going to do. Well, that lasts about 2 hours, because, unfortunately, in society, people do get murdered, people do commit crimes, people do have traffic accidents, people die. It's unfortunate. And this is not happy news, but it is news. And just for the record, what I have always thought is, news, by definition, is that which is out of the ordinary. And I think a lot of these things certainly could be considered out of the ordinary. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how many local radio stations are there in Marion?
Just three? What's that?
Just three?
Well, you know, I that do local stuff, to be honest, I don't listen to a whole lot of them. I know... I would guess at this...
There's UWMRN, and there's, well, the WMRN would count under that 95.5 platform, right?
Right. I mean, do they still do local... I know they don't have any local programs.
Well, that's exactly... there's my case exactly. Even at those stations, there's nobody there talking local anything.
Right.
But, I mean, during football season, local football... scores in basketball during that season, but you're the only one local talking anything local, having the mayor on local, anybody who wants to come on local, I mean, this is the only platform for that. I mean,
well, yeah.
And you know, it's not, what do you think your listener base is on this show in the morning? for instance?
I would have to say it's pretty good because, you know, when I go out in public, a lot of people come up to me. We get a fair amount of calls when we do giveaways and things of that nature. And, you know, I get invited to speak a lot of places. So I would guess it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe anybody would give you any kind of word about reporting on these kind of things. You're the only one doing it.
Well, it's funny because I think it has to do with that old political thing again, that if you like the auditor and you think he's a good guy, and I'm not saying he's not. But,
yeah, call in and defend him then.
Yeah, but I think what the
people... You even invited him on to defend himself.
Well, and I've invited the auditor on many times, and he has...
I bet you he's listening.
Well, you know, he might be.
He's living.
Well, and the thing of it is that in the bottom line is he's always welcome here. I would love to have him. And you know, if there are logical answers, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, you've never turned anybody down. Anybody you've reported on or opposed, you've invited them right on. They could have got on there and said what they wanted.
Well, right, and to be honest, when a guest is on, I don't think I've ever accused anybody of anything. I've just asked questions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, though, because I don't know why people do get offended. I don't know why people do get on the defensive, but I think it's because they like the people. I think that's probably what it is.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on. Somebody really is going to be mad about it, but, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with you doing your own one, giving it live and local, every day.
Well, hopefully people are informed. That's our goal. If we can inform people a little better about what's going on, then hopefully we're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, Scott, you have a good day.
You too. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. There you go. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's the point. You know, it really is about information here, and that's what these conversations we hope derive, is more information. You know, if an event it's kind of like a traffic accident. If a traffic accident happens and 10 people see it, the police officers take note of what all 10 people say, and somewhere in the middle you find the truth. And I think that's kind of like the news. If we're not there, if we're not in the auditor's office, if we're not in the governor's office, if, you know, 10, 15 people call in and give their thoughts on it, somewhere in the middle, we're going to find what the truth is or what the logical explanations are. So there you have it. And as I've always said, the auditor is more than welcome to come on this show. I have sent him requests privately, as well as publicly. So anytime he would like to come on, he is more than welcome. I will clear the slate for him to come on. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have anything to say. Now, one of the things I want to say about these issues, this pandemic, when I think back to it, I don't know. I hear a lot of people critiquing people about how it should have been handled. But I don't know, back in the early stages, if they would have been saying the same things. That's interesting to me. I remember the early stages. People didn't want to go out. People went out and bought all the toilet paper. I remember when they closed the schools. The grocery stores that night had lines to the back of the store. People thought the end of the world was coming. So it's easy to sit back now and say, well, it was handled poorly. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I do know that the early stages of this were much different than they are now. You know, the world changed in about a week. And had nothing been done at that point, how would it have turned out? I don't know. I think none of us had a crystal ball. So I am not here to defend Governor DeWine or any other governor for that matter, but I do know that it's easy now to critique somebody because we've got vaccinations available. We have vaccines out there. We have seen what it's like to live in a pandemic for a year. We understand that. But in the beginning, we did not understand any of that. None of that. And I think people have short memories. So, whatever happens, happens. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Like I was saying earlier, the Great Depression, I've been studying a lot of that lately. And Herbert Hoover thought the way to handle the Depression was to let people solve it themselves. His idea was that neighbors will help neighbors, and America will pull itself out, and I should not give, speaking of Herbert Hoover, I should not give help to anybody from the government. That people will figure this out. Well, after about 3 years of that, and unemployment at a record high, it wasn't working. And what happened? Herbert Hoover, who had been one of the most popular politicians during World War I, and was elected by a huge margin to the presidency, lost by one of the most gigantic margins in a presidential election to Franklin Roosevelt. And Roosevelt did nothing but invoke the government. So there you are. Go ahead, caller.
How much studying have you done in the Great Depression?
Quite a bit lately. Especially more directed at Herbert Hoover.
Are you aware of, well, they called the little shanty towns in that Hoovervilles?
Yes.
And are you aware what Herbie had general, well, he wasn't a general at the time, but MacArthur do?
What was that?
Are you aware of what he had MacArthur do to those Hoovervilles?
I don't think so. What did he do?
He rolled in to clear out the Hoovervilles, and it was what we would call today a melee. It's been on PBS. There was a documentary about the Great Depression, and Douglas MacArthur and others of the Army rode in, and people were killed. And I can't remember if they used machine guns or what, but it was a big, ugly mess.
Now, what was the point of that?
They didn't want those tent cities and those displaced people to be where they were.
Well, why do you think, though, because I've been reading and watching so much on Herbert Hoover, and what I can't figure out about him is, in World War I, he became a national celebrity politician because he helped people in Belgium eat. He basically fed Belgium. And this is why he became so popular. Matter of fact, there was a term that was created for him called to Hooverize. And it was a positive adjective, to fix things. And then he becomes president. They wanted him to run in 1920. Both parties wanted him because he had never said which party he was from. Matter of fact, Franklin Roosevelt wanted him to run as a Democrat in 1920. He was so popular, which might have affected our history in Marion. The Republicans wanted him to run. And when Calvin Coolidge, well, they made him Secretary of Commerce. He was so popular. And he built the Commerce Department from nothing. Then he becomes president, wins by one of the largest margins up till that point, popular president, and then the Depression happens. And he believes, till his day that he left, that government should not intervene. And he didn't. And because of that, Franklin Roosevelt defeated him by one of the largest margins of all time, and he just, unemployment, I think, was 25% when he lost the election. He just could not understand that government had to intervene. He just was not in him.
Well, one of his failings. Interesting that what did you say about Belgium?
Belgium, yeah, was in World War I when Belgium was getting pelted. He made sure they had food. That's how he became popular.
And here he does a 180 on his own people.
Well, and you know what? Herbert Hoover lived to be 90, and he wrote a lot of great books trying to explain why he believed what he believed. But, you know, it cost him everything. And I do think of DeWine as I'm watching these Hoover things, because in the beginning of this pandemic, who knew what was coming? Nobody really knew. And because of the decisions DeWine made, his party really does not like him right now, and it might cost him a second term. And
well, the fact of the matter is, these abominable politicians who knew more than someone who has devoted their years to science, these abominable politicians condemning people who know about epidemiology, etc., etc. They wedged themselves between what the people wanted and what was necessary. And that's one of the problems. You know, America, you're a bunch of spoiled children. You've had it too good for too long. You've lost your work ethic, and we're at the tail end of the baby boom. And we have, I guess it'd be fair to say, like in the 20s, the lost generation. We've got a bunch of people that you could compare to the lost generation.
Well, I've never been really sure why during this whole pandemic that elected officials have been making decisions anyway. But you know what? Anybody who's been a doctor has just been heavily criticized. In Ohio, Dr. Acton, people were in her front yard so much that she had to leave. And Dr. Fauci, to this day, gets nothing but criticism.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like this. A good parent will not let a kid have candy, you know? The kid can scream, cry, moan, and groan, but a good parent will say, no, you've had your candy, that's enough, shut up, eat your meal, and behave yourself. Everybody wants to jump on, oh, you're infringing upon my constitutional rights. I tell you, the United States is turning into nothing but a country of wussies, you know?
Well, I don't know. All I know is the criticism has come more recent than early on in this. And I think because early on, people were scared. And I think that, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't know what will happen with Governor DeWine. I don't know what the result of this mask mandate going away will be with only 35% of people vaccinated in Marion. I really don't know what's going to happen.
Well, we got to get Marion's population vaccinated. You know, all these people, well, I don't want a vaccination. It's a government conspiracy. Well, gee whiz, when was the last time they were vaccinated for tetanus, whooping cough, and any other number of vaccines? Polio was supposedly wiped out, but I can't remember if there's a small pocket of its resurgent or not. But, you know, if people want to live in the dark and be afraid their whole life, well, you know, that's their problem. Get yourself educated. Become enlightened so you can then reason compare and contrast and reason and make a decision for yourself. Don't just depend on the newspaper, what you hear on the radio or television or anything. Become a very discerning reader and listener.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in, 740-383-9944. It's an interesting topic. There's a lot of conjecture involved here when it comes to local and statewide things going on here in Ohio. We'll have another Vax-a-Million drawing. We still have three of those left. Another Vax-a-Million drawing this coming Wednesday. That'll be interesting. You know, it'd be nice if somebody from Marion won. Maybe that'll happen before this is all over. We still got three more chances. 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say, we certainly enjoy the opinions. But, you know, I don't really think... Now, this is just my thought. As I've looked over history, I don't think government has ever really wanted to intervene in people's lives. I think what happens is I think there's a problem, and it gets so big that the government starts to get criticized. And people say, well, why aren't you helping? Why? How can you? You're our government. You're our elected officials. Why aren't you doing anything? And then the government gets involved. And then people, nobody's perfect. I mean, how many people agree on everything? Very, very few. And I think that is what has happened with this pandemic. I think that's what happened during the Great Depression. It's just the handling of things. People don't agree on everything. But I do know people... Yesterday, I was reading the article, I think it was on the front page of the Dispatch, about the new drug, like for the first time in 20 years, that's been approved for Alzheimer's disease. And it looks like it's showing some great hope for those people who have Alzheimer's disease. But, you know, will it be criticized years from now? I don't know. I mean, I don't, it's just hard to tell. I know in the end, you don't want to see people sick and you don't want to see people die, so you try to make your best decisions. But the point I was going to make about the Alzheimer's medicine is that I know a lot of people who were very against stem cell research, very against it, in the early 2000s when it first became a big thing. Did not want government being involved in that at all. And then they knew somebody who was afflicted with Alzheimer's, somebody in their family, or somebody in their family was afflicted with terrible diabetes. Then they changed their mind when they thought it could help them. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you know, with the medicines and that Alzheimer's medicine you're talking about,
yeah,
you know, these people... they're in the frontiers of discovery. Everybody's going to discover something. Just think, if you go back to, say, 1500s, or even the 1400s, if you landed on the east coast of North America, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the French, the English, etc., they're all going to have different experiences and perspectives and points of view. But with science and the frontiers that are out there and the discoveries yet to be made, somebody's going to see something somebody else hadn't, and it could be out of the same petri dish. That's why science and technology is ever-changing. It's evolving. And until something over and over again and repeatable, then you know that's it. and you go on to other new discoveries. Too many people, again, America, you're spoiled. You expect something now, and you're not patient enough to see something evolve that could be extremely beneficial to society. Am I getting too deep there, Scott?
No, you know, it's interesting. I've been trying to figure out for a long time, Nancy Reagan always comes to mind, because her husband, Ronald Reagan, who was president, very popular president, certainly for the country, was not somebody who was really, I mean, in his day there wasn't a whole lot of talk about stem cell research, but probably would not have been somebody who was for it, being what his beliefs were. But when he was afflicted, Nancy Reagan became one of the leading proponents for stem cell research, because she thought it could help her husband. And so many times in life that happens, and I saw that a lot in Warped Speed during this pandemic. I saw people in the beginning who called it fake and phony and didn't wear the masks, have a family member die, have a family member hospitalized, and get the illness themselves. And then, all of a sudden, their opinion on it was different, and they became much more cautious. And I hope that's not what's going to happen now with this 35% vaccinated number, because I don't want to see a whole lot of people getting sick who think that it's over.
It ain't over. And I don't know who the fat lady's going to be singing when it is over. But, you know, people have no patience. Again, they want things now. And it's really interesting. Some of the people I've interviewed for a documentary on the effects of COVID-19 on Marion County, when I first interviewed them, oh, they were okay, no big deal. Bam. They got hit. And this documentary will share some of their stories. And for the Doubting Thomases, well, hey, you know, if you think it's a hoax, fine. But don't be surprised when it happens to you.
Well, I just, for me, it was almost a non-existent thing. But when November came, and I would only have to call it a wave, because within the course of a month, I'm going to say early November to early December, thank goodness I don't live with any of these people, so it didn't affect me, but everybody in my family got it. Grandparents, parents, siblings, they all got it. Some had to be hospitalized. I knew a very close friend who died from it in that time period, because of their age and health concerns. And I knew friends who, in the beginning, who I saw quite a bit, who contracted it and have problems to this day after shocks from it. So it didn't really become a huge thing to me until about November. And then I saw it in a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a story from someone that was in the hospital for a month, and she said it was like being in hell. The poor individual she shared a room with was in pain and agony, and that's all she heard, her moaning and everything. And, you know, there's some interesting stories of people who have been affected by this. So it makes sense, people listening, get the vaccine. The odds of you having a devastating reaction to any of these vaccines are probably... I don't know, the odds. of you getting attacked by a great white shark living in Marion, Ohio. That's how small the potential for an adverse reaction is.
Well, we will see how it shakes out. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open again. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So call in, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 51 minutes past the hour here. Give me a buzz, and we will get you on the air this morning. And differing opinions are okay. That's the whole point here. And this morning, the topics have been, of course, the pandemic and the changes that have come there. Governor DeWine's handling it has been part of the discussion this morning, and what happened here in the local auditor's office last week with the email scam. Actually, it happened on May the 12th, but came to light last week. So that's a discussion. 740-383-9944. If the line's ringing busy, just keep on trying back. We would love to hear from you. And again, just to reiterate, The thoughts on the local office, you know, when you talk about anything local, it's like talking about downtown Marion. And when you talk about anything local, people take that very personally. And I understand that because it's local. We know these people. We see these people. We vote for these people. But I think questions are not bad. I don't think that asking a question is an awful thing. I would ask a question of anybody. If I thought something was odd, why wouldn't you? I think we should have answers about certain things. And you know what? The bottom line with the whole auditor thing and the email thing is if it was just that somebody really got scammed, well, then that's the bottom line. But I think the questions in this particular case are, why was there no communication with the mayor, who's three doors down? Why would you take money out of your own pocket to buy these gift cards? And did the auditor know? How do you get access to the city credit card to the tune of $2,000? How does this happen? I think those are the questions, and maybe there are logical answers. I don't know what the protocol is to have access to the city credit card. I don't know who has access to it and who should not. I don't even know if there are rules like that. But it would be good to know the answers to those questions. Then when stuff like this happened, we wouldn't have so many questions. But I guess there are some people who don't question anything. They just say, well, it happened, it's over, let's move on. Who knows? 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Don't forget, today we've got the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:10 to 3 p.m. and Voice of the People with Linda Sims from 4:10 to 5 p.m. right here on this station. Also, we have the big 7th anniversary special coming up this Thursday. 7 to 9 p.m. on this station, we will have Mary Ellen Withrow and Angie Evers and Sean Kraft and Terry Tackett and Nate Redman and Linda Sims and Adam Lepp and a whole lot of people here on Thursday. Let's take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
You know, with those gift cards and that, you kind of have to wonder about the individual, particularly as being an employee of the auditor. How on earth could somebody be duped into doing such a thing? It unfortunately, to me, shows poor judgment and lack of supervision. How could something, it's amazing, and yet it happened.
Well, I don't know. You know, these email scams go around, and like I said, somebody last week even sent me one that they had been sent, and they weren't in government. It was just almost exactly the same type of scam. But what I'm just not sure about is, is why there is such a lack of communication between the auditor's office and the mayor's office, and even on top of that, why who has access to this city credit card, and did anybody know that this was going on?
Well, you would think, being so close, both offices, the mayor would have walked down and said, hey, I want this, can you do this for me, etc. Or, again, that response to the email, that they would have walked down to the mayor and said, is this for real, or is this somebody fishing, you know?
Well, the odd thing to me, I guess the oddest thing is that I know the mayor's email. Most people do. I would assume the people in the auditor's office know his email, and they know what email this scam came from. And it was a Gmail account. It wasn't It wasn't even like they hacked the mayor's email.
Was it a Gmail account from the U.S. or another country?
Yeah, I think the police are investigating that. But it doesn't say mayor, it doesn't say Scott, it doesn't say Schertzer. There's nothing. It doesn't say cityofmarion.gov. It's a Gmail. And the name on it is nothing like, no Scott Schertzer. It's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is odd. That wouldn't be an obvious thing. Or that you wouldn't email the mayor and say, hey, did this come from you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious.
You know, it sounds like, and I'll just say what it sounds like to me is, someone nearby was trying to do something. It wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, anybody worth their salt, it would have raised a red flag to them. They would have checked the headers, full headers on that email to see the point of origin, and if they saw it came directly from gmail.com, then they should have said, this is a bunch of baloney. I would hope by now that the city and county, I thought they shared an IT person. So, you know, whatever's going on, it's really strange, because they should be on their own intranet, etc., and nothing like this should have even happened. So,
I guess.
Oh well, hey, that's life.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Right, we probably have time for one more call if anybody wants to get in. 740-383-9944, 58 and a half minutes past the hour here. Remember the Adam the Computer Guys show, 2:10 to 3 p.m. today, and Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the big 7th anniversary special, Thursday, 7:10 until 9 p.m. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't want to get too carried away here or too cocky, because I can be pretty gullible and I can fall for quite a few things myself. But I wouldn't even bring in a roll of toilet paper to my job, let alone $2,000 if I had money.
Well, that's a strange part of it too, is I just can't imagine any... that to me is odd, that...
I think this surpasses odd. You're being too polite, Scott.
Well, I don't know.
$2,000? Why do people even have that much money?
Well, I feel bad for this person who it happened to, because they've lost their job, and now they're $4,000 in debt for falling for a scam.
Doesn't it make you wonder, like, how much farther they would have went if they would have had the means?
Well, that's the question. How did this even get caught, I guess, is, you know, I've never heard that either. Why did this finally stop? Who caught it?
It seems like the more answers we get, the more questions we come up with.
Yeah, and it's what it is, but, you know, I just wonder who has access to these things and why it happened, but on we go. Maybe one day we'll get answers.
Well, you got to get off to the dugout, don't you?
I got to head to the dugout.
All right, I'll see you.
Thank you, bye-bye. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, absolutely, and I was in it one year. I played Mother Goose.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there was nothing to tell. I was dressed up like Mother Goose, and I was in this thing. And I must say, I had a secret little flask, because it was colder than a bear's ears. And I had a little nip of some good warm stuff occasionally. So I was a very happy Mother Goose by the